In today's gospel, the disciples are an arguing, competitive lot who don't understand that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. They're walking through Galilee, and Jesus needs some time to teach them the purpose of his ministry. I think it's probably like a Vesta retreat, you think? Which wasn't funny. But anyway, they didn't understand what he was talking about. So rather than try to listen and learn, they whispered with each other about who was most important. Senior warden? Or? When they got to a house in Capernaum, they took a break and he asked them what they were whispering about. He answers their question for them by saying, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he takes a child, and children in that culture were worthless, beneath criticism, except maybe for their parents. He takes the child, sits it on his lap, and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." He means, of course, that they should become purely good, unselfish, accepting, and meek like the child. Really? How many of us have taught kids in Sunday school or other places, up to and including college, for they're still just kids, aren't they? Or who of us have children of our own? Were these kids purely good, unselfish, accepting, and meek? Nah. In my experience, they were much more interesting. They're feisty, clever, quick, fierce, generous, selfish, naughty, obedient, curious, bored, quiet, loud, challenging, funny, surprising, solemn, and exhausting. Fill in the blanks, there are more. Like many of the people I've met on the street, in shelters and in jails, they're like the disciples, like us. And I'm sure Jesus knew this about this child, about children, about the disciples, about us, about street people, homeless people, inmates. Now, what can we learn from people we see as helpless, worthless, sprawled on the street, sometimes bothersome people? Now, just a few ideas. Number one, we can be taught to honor our imaginations as pathways to God. 5-year-old Sunday school kid, or in my experience, an unkempt alcoholic sitting in the circle in the middle of Central Square. They ask me innocently, and this has happened, "Do pigeons go to heaven?" Now, or what kind of bread did they eat at the Last Supper? Is it anything like what we had at the church's supper last Sunday, you know, the Last Supper? What will heaven be like? Will we fly there? Or how about my pet kitten, Jazz, who we put down when she was 22 years old? Too often, we are tempted to dismiss these questions as silly or inappropriate. They are not silly, but they're real imaginative wonderings about God's world and the heaven that he provides for us. Children, street people, inmates, and other less powerful people teach us to ask hard questions. Questions that are challenging, impossible, or awkward because we don't know the answers. These people are not embarrassed by their ignorance, and they're willing to risk social discomfort to get to the truth. If they don't understand something, they ask. And they persist in asking. Street people, children, inmates, and the homeless sometimes perceive themselves so far down the scale of respectability that they're really not embarrassed to ask stupid questions. Do you mean, and this one happened to me at a shelter. The guy's half drunk. We're surrounded by people who are eating what's called a meal. Many of them high or drunk. Anyway, he said to me, do you mean that some guy 2,000 years ago who was killed came back to life and then flew up to heaven has anything to do with me in this shelter eating this garbage? Now, this is from a resident in a wet shelter. In contrast, the disciple in this week's gospel story missed an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus because they're too afraid to ask hard questions. In telling them candidly about the suffering that lies in his future, Jesus offers them the possibility to have a deeper, more vulnerable intimacy with him. But they refuse the invitation, either because they don't have the courage to admit their ignorance, or probably because they can't afford to hear the painful truth, or they don't want to hear what they know will be the painful truth. Perhaps they believe that avoiding uncomfortable stuff will save them. Or whatever the case, their unwillingness to ask tough questions of themselves and of Jesus limits their growth and their fellowship with God. Children and other helpless people like them teach us to trust unquestionably in God's abundance and love for us. This is a story about Saint Teresa of Lisieux. When she was 4 years old, she was shown a handful of colorful ribbons and asked to choose one. Entranced, she simply looked at them and responded, "I choose all." The disciples in this week's story, though, don't believe that all is available in the kingdom of God. They don't lean into Jesus' generosity, sufficiency, and abundance. Believing that what's available to them is limited, they quarrel for first place. In response, Jesus points them to the non-striving, unambitious, open-hearted trust of a young child. Here's a story about another hopeless, or what do we say, unbearable or unthinkable person that I meet regularly at Massachusetts Correctional Institution in Concord, sometimes called one of Massachusetts gated communities. It illustrates a childish, open-hearted trust in God's infinite goodness. First, some backstory. I met Mike some time ago. After he'd been away for a bit of time, maybe a month or so, after I'd first met him. And I said, "Mike, where have you been?" "Sick, in the hospital." "Was it serious?" "Liver cancer." "Ah." I don't usually curse, and I hope I didn't then, especially with my collar on. But this, didn't see him for a couple of months. Then, recently, he showed up again. "Mike, welcome back." "Yeah," he looked at me and said, "God is good." Bill, you and I heard the rest of the story last Thursday. Mike started, "I've been here 12 years, and I've got 2 years left. When I was arrested, my daughter was 2. She came to court with me. She held my hand and said, 'It'll be all right, Daddy.' A few years later, she started parochial school." And you know how kids are. Absolutely unembarrassed about a lot of things. "She told her classmates about me," Mike said. They all put small pebbles in their shoes, and every time the pebbles hurt too much, they stopped and said a Hail Mary. Mike said, those prayers kept me going. Makes the kids crawling in Jesus' lap seem more real, doesn't it? Finally, and most radically, children and the helpless can teach us what God looks like. Young children, the homeless, the addicted, those in prison are pictures of helpless dependence, of powerlessness, of need. We sometimes don't even see them. They're at the mercy of those who are older, bigger, stronger, richer, more privileged, and more in control than they are. And this shocking portrait of dependence and vulnerability is the portrait that Jesus offers us of God. In God's kingdom, power and prestige accrue as we consent to be little, vulnerable, invisible, or low. We gain greatness not by pushing others out of Jesus' lap, as they were probably doing in today's gospel, but by serving them, empathizing with them, and sacrificing ourselves for their well-being. Jesus tells us that we welcome God when we welcome the helpless. Do we really want to see God? Then look to the child abandoned in the alleyway, the child in detention at the U.S. border, or wherever they put them. Look to city streets where people sprawl on sidewalks and drunken stupors, and people walking out of the church, I've seen it, step right over them, don't even see them. Look in homeless shelters. Look to the child dying of gunshot wounds in a classroom. Look to those who can't access health care, education, or dinner. Look to people drowning in anxiety and depression. Look to the weak, the small, the simple, the vulnerable, and the helpless, the child. Look to the ones who are not in charge. Look to the tiniest faces and see God. Jesus says in today's gospel that whoever welcomes one such child, one such helpless person, welcomes him who sent me. Our baptismal vows, and you can look them up in the bulletin this morning, our baptismal vows ask, will you seek and serve Christ in all people? Some time ago, someone asked me why I walked around Central Square in Cambridge after the service on Sundays and said hi to people. The guy sitting outside of Dunkin' Donuts stemming. Why I spent time at a shelter. Why Bill and I go to prison at least once a week. I responded, but like the disciples, I don't think this person understood. I'm looking for Jesus. Amen.